You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9am to 12 midday.
One thing I'm sure we will be talking about in the new year is health, because it is traditionally the busiest time. And just yesterday, there were a total of 44 patients left waiting on trolleys at University Hospital Limerick in its emergency department and in the overflow area of wards, according to the INMO. That figure could be much higher in January. I'm joined on the line this morning by Bernard Gloucester, Chief Officer for Community Healthcare in the Midwest, and also by Colette Cowan, CEO of the UL Hospitals Group. Good morning to you both.
Morning,
and thanks
Jim.
Very much for joining us this morning. Colette Cowan, how busy do you think you'll be in the first few weeks of 2019?
Good morning, Gavin. Yes, we expect to be very busy in the first few weeks of 2019. Traditionally, every year it's the same in January, with influenza hitting, with staff sickness and with patients with respiratory illness. You'll see a surge in activity. We're projecting this year, by year end, we'll have 71,000 patients through an emergency department, which is a 10% jump from 2015. So activity continues to grow year on year. So we expect a very busy January.
A 10% jump from 2015 is an extra 7,000 patients, which is, you know, dozens more each week, obviously, when we boil it down from that point of view. Last year, we saw trolley numbers that were virtually unprecedented. Can you be confident you won't hit those heights again?
I'm not confident on hitting the heights, because we're the busiest emergency department in the country alongside the Mater Hospital. So what I'm projecting is a very busy winter, and we have to put plans in place, which we have done, to try and divert patients from the emergency department to other areas within the hospital group. It is awful for patients to have to wait on trolleys. When they come into the emergency department, they are treated and triaged and given care, but the waiting, as you know, patients will tell you, is very long and very distressful for them, as it is for us.
We'll get on to some of the measures of the winter plan in a moment, how you're going to mitigate as best you can this pressure. But why is it that it was only published in the first few days of December? Should the planning for winter not have been at a much more advanced stage by then?
So the overall national plan was published in the last few weeks. However, we plan all year round for winter. So our teams sit and meet together with our colleagues in the community. We met last May and we developed our plan. We have a plan every year that we enhance on. We await funding then, and subject to that winter funding, we develop services. But it's not something that happens in a few weeks.
Sure. But I accept that it's out of your hands. But when you are waiting for funding, your hands are tied to a certain extent. You don't know how much money you're going to get to help you through this busy period, so you don't know how much you can invest and spend. It can't be ideal.
It's a challenge in itself. However, we do know we will get funding, so it's up to us to make sure that we put in our proposals early, articulate what we need, because we are at the front line, so we know exactly what we need there. And within that, it comes from the service plan and what budget's left over then. So we got €1.14 million, which is quite a substantial sum, to put other systems in place to allow us to at least manage January. It'll still be very busy.
How much did you apply for?
We'll always look for a lot more. We applied for twice that, which is the norm, but that would be utopia, and we're under no illusion that way. What we have to do is make sure that when we get the funding that we're able to put the systems in place and get the staff. So if you over-apply, you're not going to be able to get the staff to do everything.
So you looked for over 2 million, you got 1.14, but you're still saying that that's a good amount and a good result?
It certainly is, yes. It will allow us to extend our medical assessment unit 24/7, to open a short-stay surgical admissions unit. So what we're looking at this year, really, because we don't have the bed capacity of inpatient beds, is other areas for patients to access other than the emergency department, and other areas for the GPs to access diagnostics. And that's what we're looking and focusing on. That aside, we have 450 beds in UHL. If you compare us to other large major centres in the country who have over 600 beds, you can see our demand far exceeds our capacity to function.
So the medical assessment unit will have expanded opening hours. Is that just for a few weeks, or is that going forward?
And that's going forward, yeah.
And that's so the one that's in Dour Doyle itself, I understand?
Correct, that's correct.
What else is coming on stream to allow you get through January?
Yes, so we're also opening a surgical short-stay admissions unit, so that will allow patients to be referred there who come in with abdominal pain or various illnesses, that they can at least get access to a bed and then to theatre. And to help with that, we have to extend our emergency theatre list. We have a lot of trauma in the wintertime, and even the storms last night, you'd see slip, trips and falls and traumatic events over the Christmas. So we've extended our emergency theatre to 3 days a week to ensure that patients get their surgery quicker, and we've also enhanced our diagnostics so people can get their diagnostics and be discharged home earlier.
Okay, and to bring yourself in then, Bernard Gloucester, Colette Cowan is head of the hospitals group. You're talking from a community healthcare point of view. Have you been given additional resources for this time?
Yes, indeed, Gavin, and understandably, I think the focus for people like myself and Colette from a public point of view is always what did we get, and in addition to what Colette has been talking about, we will invest an additional specific enhanced amount of money between 750,000 and €1 million just over these short few weeks. But I think what's also extremely important for people to understand when Colette talks about the planning that we do throughout the year, because we don't see ourselves as having necessarily a winter phenomenon here. It's just a different time of the year. We're very busy all of the year round. We're all of the time looking at how we target our existing resources to ensure the smoothest possible patient flow into the hospital and out of the hospital. And that's the critical role of the community. And also to provide options for people to, as it were, avoid a hospital presentation if at all possible. And there, you know, I think people don't necessarily understand, and you and I have spoken before about different things like Shannondock and about step-down beds and so on. And you just give people an idea, in 2017, Shannondock had 110,000 contacts with people in the Midwest region. That's just out of ours. And they would have referred just over 10% of those 10,500 people to the emergency department. They were people that the doctors felt needed that care. But that's 90,000 contacts that went a different route. And that's extremely important. I know you had Deputy Michael Harty on yesterday, and he was commenting quite rightly on the very low rate of delayed discharge in the Midwest region. It's a very significant phenomenon in other parts of the country, but Colette's team and my own team, we've worked over the last few years to get that down.
Sure. And you have some advantages in that it's not the case in other parts of the country, but it is the case that your geographical areas are identical, as I understand it.
Yes.
But does that also mean, Bernard, that you have limited room for improvement at this time? Can you really do more to alleviate the pressure on the hospital system working in tandem as you are?
Well, probably the two most immediate things we can do to assist the hospital is firstly to promote amongst the public and amongst the general practitioner community, and I want to stress the general practitioner community is equally very busy and under serious pressure, but to promote amongst the public and the general practitioner community the need for people to consider carefully their own health and how they manage their own health, and when is the right time to go to the emergency department and when is the right time to seek alternative assistance. And that's extremely important, and there are some very useful information points for that. In relation to people leaving the hospital, probably one of the most significant things we've done over the last 2 years is we've developed a transitional care model, which means when people are ready to leave hospital but not necessarily ready for their final Ardmore journey, whether that's to home or whether to long stay care or for further treatment, we provide step down care mainly in private nursing homes, also in some of our public units, and the important story of St. Joseph's is well known in that
regard. Of course, yeah.
But last year, in 2017, we took 1,216 people out of the acute hospitals into transitional care for approximately 3 to 4 weeks each. And that alone allowed us to free up pressure off the hospital for the equivalent of 25,000 bed nights. So these are very, very significant interventions that both of our teams are making and pursuing, and we're pursuing every option we can to assist the public, because at the end of the day, we hear all of the complaints. Understandably, we hear the waiting time complaints. But people can be assured, and I think the key message of this winter plan this morning is that working with the public and with all of our services, both in the hospital and in the community, we can do the best we can to make sure no stone is unturned to reduce and mitigate that pressure to the greatest degree possible.
But would you accept that doing the best you can, while those efforts are appreciated and while that extra investment will no doubt make an additional difference, Bernard, it's still likely that patients will be very frustrated at times in the new year?
Very understandably so. And, I quite frequently would meet people, as Colette wouldn't, they'd say, well, it was the same last year, so if it's going to be the same this year, why isn't it different? The increased demand alone on healthcare services this year alone, because of the demographic profile, every year the numbers are added. So Colette has said to you, Colette operates the busiest emergency department bar the Mater Hospital in this country. The presentations go up. So even when we make interventions to mitigate and create flows for people, we are against a demographic tide. We have the resources we have to work with. We're very grateful for the resources we have, but we just have to keep working to max those out to the greatest degree possible.
That's difficult, Colette.
It's very difficult, yeah, and I think the first thing is to acknowledge even our other sites, the Model 2s, Ennis&Nene and St John's. Without them, we really wouldn't be able to function at all.
Absolutely.
They do a lot of work, you know, the medical assessment units, the local injuries, and they take a lot of transfers out, so I want to acknowledge the staff there in Clare and also in Tipperary.
Do you have anything additional, as you mentioned, Ennis, do you have anything additional going into Ennis at this time of the year?
Well, what's happening in Ennis is that they run the medical assessment unit at the weekends, which really helps. It allows the GPs to have access there and a point of contact. And there's a very good team there that work at the weekends to make sure patients are looked after on Saturday.
But that's always been the case. It's not, there's an extra hours, for example.
Yeah, we have to ensure that the sites remain safe and that what patients go in there are treated safely and that they can get access to urgent care here if they require it. So we have to be very measured in what we do. We do focus on the different sites. In the new year, we have other plans for Ennis around surgery and ENT surgery, but that's a story for another day. I suppose today is really about the winter plan and here in the site, here at UHL. It's a very busy site. It's going to remain busy. We absolutely know patients get distressed in the emergency department. We don't like it ourselves, but we have no other options around it other than what we're putting in place. So what I'd like to do is acknowledge all the staff at Christmas time. They do work very hard, long hours, and give good care, and I think that we should support them in their role and that to get through this winter. And the most important, I think, message to the public is please get your flu jab and your pneumonia jab if you require it, to make sure that you don't get the flu or respiratory illness and end up in our emergency department waiting.
Bernard, I suppose another way in which your lives can be assisted, shall we say, and the pressures eased, is to the actions of patients ourselves. Colette has rightly pointed out the flu jab, but there's also going to the GP in the first instance where appropriate, going to the medical assessments where first appropriate. I know they're both hospital examples. I'm sure there's others as well that the public can do to try and ease the pressures.
Yeah, so there's a couple of very basic things the public can do, and again, to be fair, the time slot of the programme wouldn't allow for all of the detail, but to say to the public, I think there's just four very brief key messages. Firstly, there's an interdepartmental government website. It's called winterready.ie, and including healthcare but not limited to healthcare, there's lots of really good advice for the public on how to mind themselves. Specifically in relation to health, undertheweather.ie deals with a whole range of symptoms and conditions that people experience at this time of the year and what the options are for those, and you'd be amazed the amount of people who don't necessarily automatically think of those options, maybe understandably. In addition to the GP and the GP out of our service, pharmacists provide an amazing service for people, and I would urge people with minor and mild symptoms to seriously consider taking the advice of those, the local health centres, public health nursing staff and so on. All of those things are there for people. And I suppose in addition to that, Colette and I would say, because we're very conscious of the age-related profile that surrounds healthcare at this time of the year, and we would say to families and to communities and neighbours, as we always do at this time of the year, if you have a vulnerable or elderly person living near you or a relative, please check with them. Quite often they may have a chronic disease. Have they got their prescriptions front loaded? Have they had their GP appointment? Are they warm? Have they hot drinks? Have they heat and so on? All of those things do make an exceptional difference to the management of care and self-care, which hopefully contributes to a reduction on the pressure and the demand for health services. But again, to stress to people, Gavin, and I think we would have a very important message. Busy in all as health services are, we are public services, we are there for the public, and if you are ill, present to our services, we will look after you. You may have to wait, but we will look after you and our staff will look after you. But we are just asking people to consider all of the options that are available to them.
Colette, you mentioned the pressures on staff. Just at lunchtime, we will almost certainly hear headlines that the INMO are voting for potential industrial action, perhaps as soon as in January. That's not ideal.
No, it's not. And I mean, I don't disregard that. The nursing that they have, they're looking at their pay deal and all the rest. We'll await the outcome of that ballot and we'll work with the unions around what that will mean for us around if there is strike action. And of course, none of us want to see anybody at the gate of any hospital on strike. So we'll just have to work with the unions around that, and hopefully a conclusion can be agreed nationally on whatever the outcome is.
We'll see what happens. I mean, obviously the result yet to be announced, but all indications are that the INMO will be voting in favour of industrial action by quite a considerable margin later on this lunchtime. There's also talk today that because of the overspend collect in the National Children's Hospital, that capital projects could be delayed. Do you foresee a situation where you'll be fighting to retain your funding for both the 60-bed block due to be built on the module unit next year and the 96-bed block in years to come?
The 60-bed block, we have full planning permission and are ready to start our enabling works, and funding has been committed. We're just awaiting formal approval on that, and I don't think the National Children's Hospital will impact on that funding stream. Equally, the 96-bed block then is actually when the hospital, Children's Hospital, is built. It's on our capital plans. It'll be 2021 before we see funding coming through for that anyway.
But if the Children's Hospital is delayed, or if there's even more overspending, could your works be delayed because the money isn't there?
Well, everything could be reviewed for sure. I'm not privy to the conversations, but of course, if you have a finite amount of money and one service is being developed, yeah, other services would have to be looked at and prioritised. What would stand to us is the perfect storm, really, is that we are the busiest emergency department. We have a capacity problem, and that's clearly acknowledged across the HSE and government, actually, and our local politicians are all working with us to make sure that that happens around the 60-bed block. So I think that it would be remiss that the funding would be pulled to serve something else.
We'll see what happens on that one going forward. Do you have a final message for patients in terms of this winter, Colette?
I think to patients, really, it's going to be a very busy winter. Emergency department will be busy. However, if you're acutely ill, of course, you must come into the hospital. We'll look after you, we'll treat you and ensure your recovery. What I would say is to try now to go and see your GP, as Bernard has outlined. Get your flu vaccination. The flu can be very tough on a person, both young and old, and attend to their GP or their pharmacy for advice. But equally, if they need the emergency department, they need it, and we'll look after you.
I need to leave it there, but I will thank you both for joining us this morning. That is Colette Cowan, CEO of the UL Hospitals Group, and before that, Bernard Gloucester, Chief Officer for Midwest Community Healthcare. Happy Christmas to you both, and the best of luck to your staff in the new year.
You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 midday.